Welcome to another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast with your hosts, Ryan Dangle.
You picked a tie? What are we, true, in Europe? Like, what?
I'm sorry, soccer? We can, ties happen in the NFL, man.
They're called draws, right? Yeah, no, dude, why? Why are we doing? No, no, absolutely not. All right, well, you got to keep your own record now because I don't have a tie column. I got a win-loss column.
Patrick Sheldon.
I say that because the flashlight emanating and beaming from the steaming pile of was today's game is David Montgomery. He is the flashlight in my pile of poop.
Brendan Chagrou.
So our buddy Brendan, who writes for USA Today, I have always screwed up his last name. Brendan. Brendan.
And Jack Wright.
Sorry, Captain Flo's over there.
I'm not Captain.
So you're not excited, Jack. You're not excited about having Sarah Spain.
Yeah,
on our,
wow,
show.
Maybe no, I have the talent. Is that what we found out?
Featuring Cam Ellis.
Once I was like trying to get a happy answer out of him, and I was like, hey man, like, do you take out of these situations, like, what is it like to know that, like, you're this beloved, that, like, these videos are going viral? And he was just like, I don't do it for that attention. And then they just took the next question, and I was just like, okay, like, I'm gonna melt into my seat and never come back here ever again.
And Logan Bradley.
Bears, rich history defensively, a lot of good linebackers. First round draft pick, hell of a player, a Bear that is going to go down in history. Nobody's going to forget. I am bringing back Shay McClellan.
The Bear Down Chicago podcast. Yeah, we're that Bears podcast.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Chagrou. I'm back from Soldier Field. I'm hurting, not physically, just mentally. This was a tough day, and we're going to get into it. Probably just have some Bears therapy. I think that's best for everyone. We got some great guys coming on the show just in a minute, but before I get to that, if you want to follow me on Twitter or X, you can follow me at Brendan Chagrou. That's S-U-G-R-U-E. Make sure you also check out my work at thebearswire.com. I'm going to bring on a guy I have not talked to in a bit. He is Logan Bradley. What's up,
sir,
Logan?
Not too much. I do the song and dance of I'm depressed right now. And while I am, I also just am so unfazed by days like this because I'm very used to it. My as I'll probably talk about at some point, my two favorite teams are the White Sox and the Bears, so this just comes with the territory. So it's good to see your beautiful face, Brendan. It's been a little bit.
I know, you too, and you're right, you've been hardened so much over the last,
yeah,
year. We all really have. I mean, let's be real, Chicago sports is probably in its worst place it's been in a very long time. But you're right, we have been at this point in time so frequently. We've had these shows so many times. I mean, Dangle's gone off on rants before. We've talked about fire everybody. We've said, like, the circle of suck, it just keeps getting worse and worse. And yeah, we are back here now.
We're good at these shows now, at the very least. Like,
right,
this show is going to probably go smooth. We're used to it.
We excel when the Bears just drive us to misery. So it is going to be a good one. You can follow Logan on Twitter or X at LBrad5. And I'm also going to bring on Jack Wright. Hold on. Before I get to your socials, Jack, I think we need to do like a Captain Flus check, like, every week. Are you even close to being Captain Flus anymore? Like, are you just trying to distance yourself from that nickname now? Okay. Like, completely? Where are we at there?
Yeah, fully distance. I mean, again, I think from the start, it was tongue-in-cheek. As I often say, I was just trying to, like, say it wasn't just Flus. But, yeah, I mean, and I know we'll get into it, but I mean, it's pretty clearly obvious by now, isn't it, that, hiring a defensive-minded head coach, when you're going to draft another franchise quarterback, this is not going to work out at all. And then this process of, having a head coach, with a quarterback, and you stated it so well over the years, Brendan, like this, the cycle of suck, you know, where everything just doesn't, everything sequences wrong, completely wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can follow Jack on Twitter or X at BearDownJack. Hold on, before we get into everything, comments are coming in hot. We have an awesome audience already, so we thank you for that. Everybody is very excited that Logan's here.
Hey, I'm excited to have you guys all with us. We need, this is, again, like Brendan said, this is a group therapy session for the 8 millionth time.
I mean, why wouldn't you be excited to have Logan back again?
Mustache.
Are you doing like No Shave November, or have you just been rocking that?
No, honestly, at this point, it's just kind of here. I think I made the move to just commit to it about 2-3 years ago. And as of right now, now anytime that I do shave it, which isn't very often, now that looks weird. So we've like kind of gotten over the hump a little bit where this is normal. So we're gonna keep it. We're talking about the real important things here on the podcast.
What happens first? Do the Bears have a winning season, or does Logan shave his mustache off?
Good man. I'm going to keep it for a while. So that, and I don't see us having a winning season anytime soon. So, hey, what do you know?
It could be that. All right. So I just want to quickly get your brief thoughts before we get into a bunch of specifics here. Bears lose to the Patriots 3-19. They only scored a flipping measly field goal. They made it into the red zone just once. This was, for me, just, I don't know if this is the worst game I've seen in person. I've seen some pretty bad duds, as you can imagine. I think back to the 2022 Bears Commanders Thursday night game where nobody wanted to win that game. I think back to the 2014 Bears Cowboys game where it was just a complete blowout on Thursday night football. But this one is up there in terms of just some heinous football that was being played. Things just keep getting worse. And this was like the last get right game. And it was truly a get right game against the Patriots. I mean, this was a bad team coming in. They'd won just two games. They looked inept for much of the season. I mean, I know Drake May had a few passes here and there, but this truly was the game that if there was any chance to get even remotely right, and I'm using that term very loosely because I don't think maybe some people thought the Bears were going to come in and get a big win. I was thinking they could squeak by, but at least you stop the bleeding a little bit. But this was the worst game of the season by far. There was no rhythm whatsoever on offense. Everybody from the coaches to the players was missing their assignments. There was no cohesion. Defensively, they allowed a Patriots team that had very little offense to drive up and down the field. And I think they were thankful that they only got 19 points. But this really was the final straw, in my opinion. And I am fully on board for changes now at any moving forward, like beginning on Monday. I was a little apprehensive overall, just because I do try and give people the benefit of the doubt as much as possible. But enough is enough. And this staff needs to go. I'd really like this. You cannot have this locker room continue to spiral the way it has, because it is only getting worse no matter how bad the opponent is. So, Logan, I want to hear your thoughts, and then we'll get to Jack as well.
It was just like such a, like, from play one of this game, uninspiring effort. And that's all that you need to know when you're talking about whether you want to, you know, when you're at a crossroads with a coach and whether you want to retain them or not, is like, okay, you know, and oftentimes you won't have a lot of talent on that team, but if that talent is, you know, obviously working hard, if they're playing through whistles, you know, you're seeing extra effort from a lot of different guys. I understand you're not going to see guys going 110% all the time, but everything about today's game was so boring. It was so pathetic. It was so embarrassing. And obviously there are so many guys in that locker room who are very talented football players. And if you put them on another team, they'd be performing probably a lot better. It comes to the point where, like, I don't really even like know what the reason is for why they suck, because there's so many different reasons that you could point to at this point. But this is a Patriots team, like you said, Brendan. This Patriots team is not good. Like, it's a very, very not good team. I think Drake May seems like maybe he could be better than everyone thought he was going to be. It's very early for him, but It is certainly very depressing to watch Caleb Williams, the number one pick overall, go up against a quarterback who has taken, you know, a few picks after him and get outplayed. And I don't know, I straddle the fence on like how much blame to put on Caleb at this point versus the coaches. Obviously, I think the majority of it is coaching, but at the same time, it's just like you're even getting the draining aspect of the fact that Caleb Williams just looks, he's so inaccurate. He's missing throws everywhere. There's no like timing plays, like no quick timing. Like there were, I think the couple of completions that they had today would be like on timing routes where it was like a curl from Keenan Allen and he hit him a couple different times. But otherwise, when he doesn't have those timing routes, like right off the bat, like nobody's open, nothing's happening. It's so boring. It's so goddamn boring to watch the Bears. Like after watching the Bengals Ravens the other night, that was so much fun. It's a different sport. It's just like, why do I do this every single week? Why do these good people who are hanging out with us here in the chat do this every single week? We just love this team and they do not love us back, and it just sucks.
Such a, I mean, I, it would be really nice. Just I feel like watching the chat, I wish we were all just like somewhere at a bar with like Brula and TJ and Matt and Heidi and George, all of them. Like this would be, I think we would have a blast, because you're gonna have to have some fun out of this one way or another. I think I'm set to go into Matt Nagy watch mode. That's where I would just watch, like basically with, I mean, I would watch like I was dead inside, because I think maybe I am dead inside when it comes to watching the Chicago Bears. And if you watch like you're dead inside, it's kind of nice actually, because you know you don't get too high or too low. And actually you enjoy the game a little bit more, because when they do something good, you're like, oh, okay, cool. I wasn't expecting anything good. And there was something good. So, I just, you mentioned, you know, being a White Sox fan and a Bears fan. And I think, you know, in the thread, when I think Shell's asked about the new manager, you know, my response is just, well, is the owner the same?
It's, yeah.
My response is the same. And I think it's natural to have hope, right, fellas?
You have to, otherwise, what are we doing? Right, like, if you have hope, you don't have hope, you got nothing.
Exactly. And I think I was so out on the White Sox, I just think maybe I allowed myself to hope. I feel like an idiot. I got to be honest. I just, like, now that things have kind of transpired the way that they have, it becomes crystal clear that the one thing that hasn't changed with this franchise over the last 30 years is the ownership. And it is such an encumbrance to anything good ever happening. We see the same trickle-down effect that has occurred for the last 30 years in different variations. But the bottom line is they are too afraid to find a type of coach that would be edgy with some swagger, that's offensive-minded, that could make a difference on this team, that could set an offensive scheme and develop a quarterback. And that's the, and that is it. That is the bottom line. That's the Achilles heel to this franchise. It will continue to be the Achilles heel, because as long as someone comes in that door with the attitude that the McCaskies don't like, it's not a good fit for them. So it doesn't feel comfortable for them. So it just won't ever happen. I mean, and that saddens me, because I don't want to be, I feel powerless. Like this team will just never be good or change. But I'm sitting here thinking, like, the Blackhawks weren't good until old man Wirtz died. And and I kind of feel like that's where we're at, because the amount of, we talked about it last week, Brendan, the amount of great coaches that have walked out of the building who could have been franchise changing types of winning coaches, like therein lies the problem. And now the roster's decent, and we still see that not having an offensive minded head coach who is a great leader, who can scheme an offense and develop the most important position in the game, will continue. As I said, I'm sorry I'm repeating myself, but it's like, when's that going to change? We're in this perpetual nightmare. Fellas, it's a perpetual nightmare. And I don't know what the answer is. I don't know where we go from here, except for just watching the game dead inside. I don't know what else to do.
Well, and I think it goes past the McCaskies as well, because we've seen this time and time again where there's a certain type of GM who hires his type of head coach. I think back to Phil Emery and Mark Trestman. Phil Emery had Bruce Arians in there, and for one reason or another, he wanted the weird dude from Canada, because they were essentially the same type of person. And I don't, like, clearly that wasn't going to work. And I think back now to whether you want to say that Ryan Poles definitely hired Matt Eberflus or whether that was sort of an arranged marriage, I think there's some, you know, somewhere in the middle. But Matt Eberflus hires Shane Waldron, who is the same type of personality as Matt Eberflus. Yeah. And that doesn't work when you have guys who are starting to question the offensive coordinator and you don't have that strong presence at head coach to kind of mitigate that. Someone like Pete Carroll in Seattle. So it definitely is part of the McCaskies where they don't want to be pushed or anything like that. But I think it also goes down to the coaches and the GMs because they want to hire their own guys. I know the whole Trace Armstrong thing has been coming out this past week about the agent nepotism, essentially, because he represents most of those people on the staff and he represented Luke Getsy before he got fired too. So you're right. There is something to that. I just think that we have to also just think back past the McCaskies, but yeah, it's the same old song and dance. And I mean, looking at this in a, I guess, micro sense with this specific team, I just keep thinking about how much this has devolved from the Washington game. And I think back to, I know Logan, you weren't on, we haven't talked about this yet. I know Jack and I talked about this last week, but like thinking about where the 2019 team went after the double doink, where they had to stew on that for a full 9 months and it kind of ruined Matt Nagy's brain and things kind of spiraled. Like ever since that moment, what maybe they were putting lipstick on a pig or something, but things just continue to get worse and worse and they cannot dig themselves out of it. Yeah. And even the good things that have happened where the defense, you know, they could always count on the defense. Well, they get blown to shreds last week and they're struggling against the Patriots team. Now the offense continues to get worse and worse. They produced 142 total yards today. Like there are the redeeming qualities of this team going in now each week are getting fewer and fewer. And that goes back right to coaching because they're not doing much right now. So
no.
The
only thing that like, I feel like is like a microcosm of like where you can watch a game and be like, okay, I know because of this, that all of these guys have quit on this coaching staff. All you need to do is look at these end of halves for the Bears, the end of first halves over the last 2 weeks where they're giving up just what they gave up 10 points, I think in a minute 51 today. It's an inability when you probably, I would assume again, like when you're in a locker room and you have a coach's like main job is okay, how do we get all of these guys to keep complete and utter focus from the minute the clock starts till the minute that clock hits zero? And I think that there's no bigger indictment on how big of a weenie head coach you have right now is that he cannot keep the focus of this team for a full half of football. As soon as that clock starts to trickle to zero and it's like, okay, we're almost at the half, guys are just like, you know, I don't have a specific person in mind. Everyone's just kind of being lackadaisical and making stupid mistakes. And just like, you're just not playing the game of football. Like you have to play to the whistle, boys. God, I just don't have like words, but there's so many instances of just guys quitting, which is what makes it even more amazing that we are sitting here right now and none of us have gotten notifications on our phone that either of those dumbass idiots have been fired. It just makes no sense. Ownership of both the Bears and White Sox are cowards. They're weenies. They hire weenies. When they have a choice to hire the right guy, they will hire the wrong guy 10 out of 10 times. And it's so, so old. I'm just sick of it. And it breaks your soul every week. I'm trying so hard not to drop F-bombs right now.
I like the so weenie hard. Bombs.
Yeah, that's what
there's I like a lot of weenie, yeah, there was like multiple weenie bombs.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess I would just go back real quick, and I know we got to thank some folks who are so good to this show, but I just still think it's not necessarily worth arguing about, but it is maybe in some respects in terms of the origin of this, Brendan. I do think the one common factor is the McCaskies. You're right about the interchanging of the GMs and like the different hirings that those GMs have made. And maybe this is just conjecture, but I think if everybody got the F out of Poles' way, I think that he is the type of person with the type of background in Kansas City that he wouldn't feel constricted in any way with those folks over his shoulder, setting a certain level of like character principles and other types of whatever archaic 1980s bullshit they're hanging on to. I think it's a combination of not wanting to build Beartopia out in, you know, Arlington Heights, of not having cool alt uniforms, of never having hired an offensive coordinator who can scheme and develop a quarterback or a head coach with any gumption. I think there's this clear pattern of things that show that this is a franchise that is stuck way back with no sense of forward thinking. And that's just been a pattern all along. We've seen polls get enough freedom to fix the cap, to be able to draft a little bit, do some work in free agency. But again, it is conjecture. I don't have any like specific proof for this, but it looks to me like, I just don't think that given the opportunity and the full autonomy to make a hire, that these would have been the hires that polls would have made. I think it's a direct residual value of the way in which the McCaskies choose to conduct this organization. No? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, they hired and they were interviewing head coaches before the GM. They're and think about it from a business standpoint too. They allowed the outgoing president to buy 320 acres of land in Arlington Heights, only for him to retire and the new guy to come in and say, "Oh, actually, my vision is in Chicago because I love the sky and I love the lake." It goes beyond football decisions. It's everywhere. So you're right, Jack. It is a systematic failure starting from the McCaskies, and it touches every single part of this franchise.
Well-meaning people who have no idea
how
to orchestrate a championship franchise. But, I mean, it's just, it couldn't be clearer. We have so much proof. We have decades of proof, I think.
Absolutely.
But like maybe if they all need a haircut, you know, it'll change their outlook, and maybe they'll get a barber that whispers in their ear and says, "Hey guys, you've had a nice run. You could get, what is it, $4 billion, maybe more? Why don't you go ahead and sell this puppy? Give these Bears fans some love. Maybe go to Sheridan's Barbershop. It's a cornerstone, the Wheaton community since 1954. It's where old school charm meets modern style. It's located in the heart of historic downtown Wheaton, Illinois. They've got 6 master barbers ready to keep you looking sharp. Sheridan's is open Monday through Saturday, so it's easy to fit a fresh cut into your schedule, George, with appointments available online or by phone. You go to sheridansbarbershop.com, Virginia, or you can call 630-668-0137, Kevin. And you can book your appointment today, or you could head to downtown Naperville. It's kind of on the way. If you're coming out there from Sycamore, where you live, George, to go to Chicago, you can go to Hensel's. It's a local favorite since 1966. It offers the same unbeatable service with a crew of 6 skilled barbers that open Tuesday through Saturday. They've got you covered with walk-ins and appointments alike. Whether you need a quick cleanup or a full organizational transformation, Hensel's has you covered. Sheridan's and Hensel's, where traditional meets modern.
That might be your best read ever, Jack. Well done.
We need as many laughs as possible, so that's good.
You should have thrown Pat McCaskey in there, too.
I should have.
You know.
Ted, too. Oh, he's gone, thank God.
Ted would get too sweaty in the chair, probably.
Jeez, that's nickel every time.
That's off-putting.
Sweaty Teddy, man, yeah.
Getting you sweaty in the chair.
Let's talk a little bit big picture here. So we know that the Bears offense was brutal. We know that just nothing was working. I mentioned the 142 total yards. I also learned, so being at the game, you guys know it's like a different thing. You're watching it from a different perspective. It wasn't until I got home that I started actually looking at the stats, and I'm like, okay, I knew it was bad, but I didn't know it was this bad.
Bad.
Yeah. One third down conversion.
Watching
the Bears on third down. Oh.
Their pass per average pass was like, was it 1.8 per pass and just over 3 per run. Now, that's got to be a record, right? To have 1.8 yards per pass, that like you'd have to try. Like you could send the 3 of us out there
and
be like, hey, try to get under 3 yards per pass. Go.
So my question that I want to pose to you guys, maybe this is a true or false or whatever, but I think it's good for discussion. Will the Bears actually make any staff changes this week? Free forum. Speak whenever you want.
No, I don't think if we're sitting here at 8 p.m. Central and there haven't been changes made, I don't think that there's going to be anything. There will be some sort of play caller switch up, because like I feel like that's what Matt Eberflus alluded to in his yet again useless scintillating post-game press conference, because whenever there's a play caller change, that always fixes everything immediately. We all know that. It's truly like it's crazy that there won't be any changes made, because I know that I think Bears fans in the past, and I think Jack, you've obviously brought this up, that like we always want the next coach, and I think that probably as a fan base we're quick to pull the trigger, but it's like it's kind of like the boy who cried wolf, because this time it's like this is the time, like of all the times that all of us collectively have complained about coaches and wanting to see a guy gone midseason, this is somehow the most appropriate time. And God knows, like 2 years from now I'll be sitting here and thinking of saying this and be like, well, no, it's actually this time. No, I don't think that they're going to make any staff changes, because the ownership is a bunch of cowards, so they won't.
Isn't it a little wild to think about the fact that Logan is probably right, and what types of organizational choices are being made in the process of not firing someone? Doesn't that really reveal the points we've made so far on the show? I mean, I think if they don't, I think it makes it so glaringly obvious that what we've talked about is accurate. Again, not that, you know, anybody here needs to be right, but I think in this particular interest, if they don't fire someone, we couldn't be more right, because it's never been more obvious, as Logan said, that what good is it really doing to continue with the same coach? I mean, we've seen instances where a change midseason like this invigorates the team a little bit. You want any shot at winning any games the second half of the season? I mean, you think about it. We're going into this three-game stretch thinking we win two of these games. We're sitting at, what, 6 wins? If we try to figure out a way to pull out 4 more, we might be a playoff team. Idiots. Idiot. I'll just say me. Idiot. So, yeah, I don't know what good it is. I know there's really not a whole lot of folks to pivot to, but I think you just hand it over to Eric Washington. Or I don't know what's the move? Why is it always the special teams guy that gets the job randomly out of these situations? But it seems like a Bears thing to do. Let's give it to the special teams coach. We'll let Eric Washington keep calling the D. I don't know. Logan, can you call plays next week? Are you available?
Yeah, it'd be better.
Because you would probably have a more systematic sequential, you know, type of like long-term overview.
I played Madden, so yeah.
Yeah, no, you're good then. I think you're in. You're in. So yeah, I think the answer is no. Brendan, do you think yes?
I do think the play caller is definitely on the table, and I think there's more. I think it's more likely than not that it happens, because if the players have as much say as they've had, and just all of these team meetings that they keep having that don't do anything, maybe this is finally the time that these guys all go to Matt Eberflus or Ryan Poles and say, well, if you're going to do anything, at the very least, pass it off to Thomas Brown, who I personally don't have that much confidence in. Sorry, Thomas, no disrespect, but you were not great with Carolina back in 2023 when he was the offensive coordinator there. So I think that for sure could be on the table. I don't know if Shane Waldron gets fired. I said last week, or maybe I don't know who I was telling this to. Maybe it was I can't remember who I said this to, so I apologize. But I said the Bears shouldn't make a change at the coaching staff unless things get toxic in the locker room. It could be bad, but toxic is where I think you draw the line. I think it's starting to get toxic.
Yeah.
Just some things I'm hearing behind the scenes a little bit. It really seems like people are done. And with a young team and a quarterback who, God bless his soul, Caleb Williams,
yeah,
and we're going to get to him. But it really seems like he's trying his best to rally the troops, do what he can. I saw Usaid Koshal tweeted out that he was in the locker room, and Caleb Williams was going up to the linemen and just dapping them up, thanking them for doing the best they could, because it was brutal with the fact that the Patriots bring in so much pressure. And you can see that as a young leader, he's trying his best to command mm-hmm. that locker room. And it's hard when you don't have that strong leadership type coach who can instill that type of culture. And Caleb said it again, like he was asked, do you still have belief in your head coach? He repeated the question. He said, I still believe in the head coach? Yes. But then he talked all about the players. So he was essentially saying, well, I believe in our locker room. I believe in the guys that they've brought here. That's kind of saying that it's not really about the coaches. It's about the players. And I think when you have a soft leadership type of guy like Matt Eberflus, there comes a point where they're just running all over him. And I think that is a form of toxicity. I also want to shout out real quickly, Barelissimo. He was commenting. He's like, I have a graphic to show you. He sent it to me. Matt Eberflus has a 0.325 win percentage in 43 games as head coach. And he showed the graphic from Pro Football Reference of the worst coaches in the history of the NFL. Basically, Eberflus with his win percentage would slot in right around 14th overall in NFL history. Guys like Pat Shurmur, Gus Bradley, Hugh Jackson are still a few names ahead of him in terms of being worse coaches. So that is not a pretty list. It just goes to show, like, when you have a head coach who not only blows leads, who not only fails to make certain adjustments, who plays soft. I mean, I mentioned in a tweet earlier at the game, he rushed three players on, I think it was like a third down when the Patriots had like 10 seconds left. Drake May had plenty of time. He found the open guy. They got into field goal range. Montez Sweat was offsides when they were trying to do a spike. They got even closer. And then lo and behold, they score right before the half yet again, like they did, like the opposition did 2 weeks in a row. So this is all to say, I think some change is going to happen. I just don't know if it's going to be a firing, but Jack, like you said, it could be, or I think Logan, you said it, it could be handing off play calling duties. But at this point with this staff, I really don't know what that's going to do.
It won't do anything. It's just the definition of insanity. The definition of insanity. It's just doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And that is Eberflus's coaching philosophy. Is just let's run it back, run the tape back, from like the play on the field to his comments after the games. Like he just never even says any. Like sometimes I hate to always like bring it back to White Sox stuff, but like you had Ozzie Guillen who like sometimes he would be an idiot like in press conferences post game and like create like almost like put the pressure on himself. In some ways it was bad, but like you just sometimes you need a coach who's just like one, obviously at the least going to accept responsibility for something that is their fault, but then also two, like defend guys publicly, like show some fire. This is the game of football. Like you have to have fire to win this game. The best coaches always have that in them, and he's dead on the sidelines at all times and doesn't change anything. So not to get repetitive, but it's just like you want to see some type of change even from him, because if he's going to be here, like change something, Eberflus, be a different dude, not including your haircut. Like, do something other than that.
I guess for the sake of discussion, especially on the question, we could, you know, entertain the thought that there's a new play caller. And you do have a defense that is, I think, still a stalwart unit. I think they have suffered greatly from the lack of offensive production, as any defense will suffer when there doesn't seem to be any momentum, when there's three and outs to start the second half, as a for instance, and then you're just right back out on the mm-hmm. field. You make a good play, you put the ball in your opponent's territory, the offense doesn't score as a result of it. There's a real negative residual value to that. So let's say there is a change at OC, and like, and somehow that change begins to, like, I mean, again, it could only get better probably with offensive production, because I don't think it could get worse with offensive production. So if that were to happen, you might see some value in this team in terms of like a bit of an uptick. I think it has reached rock bottom. I think there is a clear disconnect with Shane Waldron. I think you said it really well, Brendan, last week, that perhaps in a well, you know, solidified, you know, franchise with a really solid head coach, you know, maybe Shane Waldron can be a guy, but he's way out of his element right here. I have this sense that defensive coordinators are sitting in meetings like the week before the game, and they're probably laughing a little bit. They're definitely licking their chops, because a little bit similarly with both Nagy and with Waldron, it seems as though those two had a vision of what a really highly proficient offense could look like in an ideal situation. And once they got that concept in their head, they never were able to pivot or adjust in any way to the defense and their strengths and weaknesses and the chess match that's happening on the field, to their own team and their own team's strengths and weaknesses, and how to take advantage of the strengths against the opponent's weaknesses, and then personnel, right? Like right on down the line. And of course, like scheming, having no identity on offense, right? Like we saw a very similar thing with both coordinators in terms of their lostness. They're just utter lostness. Is that a word? I just made it one. Thanks. Do you know what I mean? So I suppose, back to my original point, if there's a change, and who knows if there's going to be one, that there could be a guy in the room who is watching and is equally frustrated like the offensive players are, and maybe some of the other offensive coaches. There might be a guy in the room who goes, you give me this group, and I can kind of see how to best utilize Cole Kmet and DJ Moore, or at least better utilize them. That's an outside possibility, just for the sake of discussion, I suppose.
Yeah. I want to get to some of the comments here. One thing from our guy, TJ Gobig. Seriously, think of how similar it is Ryan Pace firing Fox and hiring Nagy, as it would be for Ryan Poles to fire Flus and hire Ben Johnson. Yes, this is the cycle of suck that we talked about. This is what the Bears do, and this is what they've done for a number of years now. They go from a defensive, stable kind of guy to now we need some offense. Now we need these young guys, so we're going to bring in Matt Nagy or Mark Trestman, and then, oh, things kind of got a little out of hand. Let's bring it back and stabilize things with somebody like Matt Eberflus or John Fox and even Lovie Smith. And although that one worked out, it's still kind of the same sort of mentality. It's always about going in a different direction. So that's kind of where we're heading, because this is what the Bears do.
The sickest part about it too is today I saw CBS on some CBS show, they were doing a segment talking to Kyle Long about, like, do you think Matt Nagy should get another shot as a head coach? And I'm like, oh my God, like, I can't do this today. Not today. Like, just, let's have this discussion down the road.
What'd he say?
He said, yeah. I mean, he was like, yeah, I think that he described that Matt Nagy, the time where he was head coach, as like his best years on the Bears, which I was kind of surprised by, because didn't Kyle Long like publicly criticize him a few times?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was a little surprised by
Matt Nagy. Yeah, no, Matt Nagy sent Kyle Long home after they got in a fight, and he essentially kicked him off the team.
Yeah, so I was expecting him to be like, hell no, no, he's not going to be a head coach again. But he was kind of about it, so it's just everything makes no sense, and I don't know anything about coaches, apparently. So
comparing Matt Nagy to Ben Johnson is like comparing Malord to Remy Martin. That's good. Mm. Oh, that's good. All right, before we get into outhouse penthouse, I think we should have a conversation about Caleb Williams and his performance, because this was bad. I know he didn't have much of a chance. The line was not great. I don't think receivers were getting any sort of separation. I was in the end zone seats, and I love sitting there because you can see plays develop and you can kind of see where guys are going. And he really didn't have much opportunities. Like you said, Jack, when he had those one read options and those quick outs, things like that were working. There was not much downfield, or he was running for his life because the line was just so inept. But Caleb Williams had, I believe, I'm trying not to look at the box score, but I think it was 16 for 30. He got 120 yards, no touchdowns, didn't turn the ball over at least, and then 9 sacks. But how much blame do you put on Caleb Williams for this Bears performance, and maybe just any other, you know, general thoughts about what you saw from the rookie, because these are now, I'd say, two fairly rough games in a row, and especially against a defense that wasn't doing much, same as the Cardinals defense the last week. What are your guys' thoughts on Caleb Williams?
You asked, like, what percentage of blame do you put on Caleb? And I think coming into this podcast, I think I was ready to say a higher number, but after talking through all, like, the organizational failures and everything, like, there's no doubt he looked bad today. He was so inaccurate. The decision-making was slow. Getting sacked, which most of the time, again, like you said, it's not really his fault, but, like, I don't know, 15% of the blame put on Caleb. I just, like, I don't know that there's a rookie quarterback. Like, if you put Jaden Daniels on this Bears team, I think it's the same exact thing. I think if you put Drake May on this team, Bo Nix on this team, it might even be worse. So it's like, yet again, it's just everything's so clouded with the larger scale problems that it's yet again impossible to be able to evaluate a young quarterback properly. And we can't even, like the national media is obviously just like, or national just narrative in general of, like, people, football Twitter crushing Caleb Williams, which that's fine, but it's just, man, do I feel bad for the guy. Like, he is, you can just tell he is truly a leader. Like, you truly can tell he wants to win. You can see how frustrated he is on the sidelines by that viral clip of when Waldron sits next to him and says something to him. But it's just hard for me to put so much of the blame on Caleb. I'm not saying that he played well. He played very bad, but it's just, there's nobody that would come into this situation and do well. If Patrick Mahomes had been drafted by the Bears, he is a backup quarterback somewhere, somehow. Maybe he rises above that and then gets, you know, to start a few games once he fails with the Bears. But it's just there until, like, ownership learns how to put the correct leadership in place. I just don't think that there's a prospect that works with this team. So larger scale, like, I can't look at Caleb and be like, it was your fault today. It's the larger scheme. Was it encouraging? No, but it's just, I feel bad for him more than I feel like I want to blame him.
I'm with you, Logan. I mean, I think I'd even put it lower. You know, I mean, it doesn't really matter, 15%, 10%, but it's minimal for me. I think he's surrounded by incompetence. He just is. And throw some injury in there as well, because the offensive line is incredibly dinged up. But as we've said before, even when the season started, the offensive line was highly suspect. So I would say even then, you know, between the offensive line and the play caller, he's surrounded by incompetence. You know, just look at, like, I think you gave some good examples, Logan, and I can think of others. You think of, you know, D-Hop going to Kansas City, and all of a sudden he catches, you know, two touchdowns. He wasn't a worse player at his previous franchise. You even look at, I mean, I hate to say this, guys, but, you know, Bryce Young sits for a little while, and now he's much improved. I don't know if you had a chance to watch him that morning game, but when he's surrounded with a little better system and a little bit better play caller and perhaps a little bit better offensive line, even his play elevates, you know? So I think if you were to have put him on pretty much, I don't even know, probably 20 other franchises in this NFL, I think that you would have seen a better performance from him today and in the last few weeks. And you would not have seen his performance decline the way that it has. I'm going to pin it on Flus. This is the second quarterback in a row where there's been a clear message given to the quarterback. Don't throw interceptions. Whatever you do, don't throw interceptions. Well, he's not throwing interceptions. Great. I mean, that to put that mentality in the minds of thoroughbreds like Justin Fields and Caleb Williams is bullshit. I felt weird even during, you know, when we were watching Hard Knocks. I felt like the Flus direct conversations with Caleb just felt, that it felt wrong. I was like, why? Mm-hmm. Why is this guy guiding Caleb Williams? He's not a quarterback guru. He's never been a quarterback guru. The only qualification he has in this situation is the head coach. So why is this guy forming and framing Caleb's mindset, skills, competitiveness, and, like, attitude towards the game? He shouldn't be. He just shouldn't be. You know. And I've already dogged, you know, Shane enough, but I think, you know, you add that to the formula as well. So, I mean, I think there are a lot of other folks. He's not blameless. Caleb's not blameless. But Caleb's a good quarterback who would play well in other systems. I have very little doubt about that. We even saw Fields play better. He's still kind of the same Fields, but he played better in a better system.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw like, I would say three really, really good games from Caleb all in a row where everything seemed to be in sync, where he and Waldron, everything was good. He was pushing the ball downfield. He trusted what he saw. That was only, you know, elevated against the Jaguars. It's gotten so bad. He doesn't trust what he sees now. I think there is a lack of community, a lack of trust between him and Shane Waldron. I just recently saw the clip where Shane Waldron's smiling at him like, "Hey man, I don't know what he said." And Caleb's just shaking his head. Like, I don't know what to do. Yeah. I mean, nobody knows what was actually said, but just very, very bad optics. We've seen that time and time again with quarterbacks and coaches. I'm going to give Caleb probably maybe a little bit more than you guys. I'm going to say 20%. While there wasn't a lot open downfield, I think he's still scared to throw it. And what we talked about last week with Jack and I was that when he does throw downfield, if he's even a little bit unsure about it, he just kind of overthrows a guy and makes sure nobody can get it. Yeah, and you're just essentially wasting a play. I mean, the one deep shot they took was when they thought there was an offsides on the defense, and it wasn't really – you could tell he was not confident in that throw. I don't think anybody knew what was going on because they were expecting the free play, and they didn't get it. Otherwise, everything was so short, like we mentioned. I think it was the 1.8 stat that you brought up, Jack. So, but at the same time, he was missing some of those throws. He missed a key third down to DJ Moore. He wasn't stepping through the throw. There were a few throws where he was thrown into traffic in the middle of the field. Probably could have been picked off a few times. He's not being helped out by his play calling. The third down, I don't know what you call it, the flare, I guess, to DJ Moore. I
watched that play so many times, and it got funnier every time. How not close it was to anything working on that play.
I thought it was a pick six. I swear, I saw it flash in my eyes. Yeah. I saw the defender coming. I'm like, oh my God. He's absolutely not being helped by any of those issues. But there are some inaccuracies there, and there's just some things that he's not, you know, maybe stepping through throws on. So there's some blame, but it's definitely not the majority. I think TJ kind of had what I was thinking: 20% Caleb, 40% O-line, 40% Waldron. But he also took some bad sacks too. Like it's never just one person. Everything just kind of compounds on one another when it comes to issues and penalties limiting any sort of momentum. You're taking one step forward and two steps back. It all happened earlier today.
Brent, let me ask. I said on Twitter today, I was like, you know, two things. One, we gave Getsy plenty of time. I'm done giving Waldron any time. It's pretty clearly obvious that he's not capable of doing this job. But I was also curious too, because I think you often hear like, well, it was the offensive line, not Caleb, or it was receivers not getting open, not Caleb. I think let's say three quarters of the game, as bad as the offensive line was and as banged up as they were, there were instances where he clearly had time and still took sacks. So then I conjectured, well, I said, I've had enough of the, you know, wide receivers aren't getting open, excuse. So my question to you is going to be like, were they just not getting open? Because again, obviously I've got a beef with Shane tonight, but have we seen an offensive coordinator in town with any ability to scheme anyone open ever? To me, that is the consistent thing right there. Mm-hmm. There might be instances where receivers are dogging it, where they're not getting separation. But I think like when you look at the track record of the receivers that we have, if you're going to try to tell me there's a consistent pattern of them not getting separation, I'm really going to wonder about that, because ultimately I think it's the routes and the way in which our receivers aren't schemed open. The fact that Shane can't scheme open those four weapons that we have, tight end and three receivers, is egregious, as we've already said. So I guess my question is to you from the end zone, what did that scene look like to you based on what I just described?
It did look like the schemes just weren't there. Or when they were there, the line broke down. So, things like, obviously it's not going to be like every single play is bad, but you know, I'm looking And I'm kind of visually, some of the plays I'm visualizing myself. I'm like, okay, I got DJ Moore, you know, with Keenan Allen on my right. I got Rome on my left. There's single coverage here. I'm like, okay, let's see what we can do. And I'm seeing them get through there, and he's kind of going through his progressions. I'm not seeing them. I'm not seeing the concepts make a bunch of sense there. And then I'm looking at Caleb also just running for his life at times too. So just trying to like put myself in a quarterback's shoes. So yes, at times I will definitely say the concept didn't make sense. I'd have to like actually watch the all 22 again to, you know, better understand it. Just, you know, seeing it one time, but yeah, it's like I said, it just all compounds like things. Everybody's taking turns making mistakes. You know, maybe there was times that the receivers were able to get separation, or you know, there was a clean pocket, but the scheme wasn't good. And then the other times when it actually was good, guys running for his life, unfortunately. So unfortunately, like, you know, as I'm trying to watch it, I can't give you like a complete total answer for every single play, but there were definitely instances.
I just want to know what your sense of it was, because I just think like I'm not watching the Lions right now, but I guarantee you they're going to figure out a way to scheme you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown open tonight. That guy will get his catches, you know, and maybe I mean, is that unfair? I mean, is DJ Moore ASRB comparative? I mean, no,
not quite. But I think Amon-Ra St. Brown is like top five.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. But
yeah.
Still, there are talented. There are three talented receivers.
Yeah, no. There's no excuse, and they're constantly running routes and ending up in the same spots on the field. Yeah. So it's like Caleb looks at a spot and he's like, "Okay, I got two receivers bunched up there and like three defenders. Let me look over here. Okay, we've got nothing." So it's just elementary school offense.
Well, and to your point, look what happened when Cole Kmet finally got involved and they threw him the ball in the middle of the field. They got a first down out of it, and that was one of the few middle of the field throws that Caleb Williams was able to complete. So you know, scheming guys like that open. I mean, there was so much talk about Cole Kmet not being a factor in this offense. And then when they finally did get him involved, they had a little momentum. So there's a severe disconnect there. I wish I could like actually put my finger on the sole part of it, on whether or not like Shane Waldron just can't scheme open somebody like Kmet. If Caleb Williams refuses to throw to him, I definitely believe the former, by the way, because we have seen Williams get Kmet involved quite a bit. But yeah, it's just so frustrating.
Well, when a team is in the lower third of total defense for the year and has two wins and comes into your home field and gets 9 sacks and allows, you know, the incredible passing inefficiency that we saw tonight. I mean, I think we look at the caliber of players that are on the team. I know maybe I'm being like very, you know, laser focused, but Shane's out of his element. He's just so out of his element.
At that, I will every single game I think of that Jackson Smith and Jigba clip with Jones. And how that in that moment, it's like the meme from Interstellar when he's like screaming through the window. It's like that should have been the moment where we all went, oh shit, we might be in.
What an indictment, right? Like he was like, so meh, you know, what do you think of Shane? Meh.
He had nothing. His first thing that he said was, because I just watched it before this, is he started with, he's a good person. Yeah. If you're talking about a coordinator and you lead with, he's a good person, he might suck at his job.
Yeah.
And he does. What do you know?
Yeah.
That's asking somebody, hey, is this chick hot that you're setting me up with? Well, she's got a good personality.
Yeah. Or like, hey, is this guy good? Like, he's going to do my taxes. He's good at taxes, right? And he's a good cook. He's a good cook. Guy can make a mean meal, so don't worry about it.
You know, you can make that mean meal maybe at a house or maybe at a new commercial real estate, because guys, it is time for, I'm just gonna say it myself because I like doing it, the outhouse and the penthouse.
That was very good.
Oh, thank you very much. The outhouse and the penthouse, of course, is brought to you by our guy, Jeff Cadwallader. Attention, Chicagoland investors and business owners. Do you need a commercial real estate expert? Look no further than Jeff Cadwallader at SVN Landmark Commercial Real Estate in Geneva. With generations of experience, Jeff specializes in office, retail, investment, and land properties. So for all of your commercial real estate needs, maybe a new stadium perhaps, Kevin, gonna take that from Jack. For all your commercial real estate needs, trust Jeff Cadwallader. Visit jeffcre.com or call 630-254-4734. All right. So, of course, we are going to the outhouse today. I think we can't just say everybody, unfortunately, as much as we want to. It's just a cop-out. But let's see if we can narrow some things down. Let's start with Logan, Jack, and I'll finish it up.
We're starting with the outhouse, correct?
Yes, because okay. They scored 3 points and lost.
Yes. Yeah. I figured. No. I know exactly what I want for this one. And honestly, like, I didn't really watch him all that much. I just know that, I don't know, probably like a month or two ago, we were on this show and a question that was asked was like true, false or something. Should the Bears extend Tevin Jenkins? And that guy, every single game, you can bet on it. You can stamp it, mark it. You will hear, oh, and Tevin Jenkins is on the ground. Or, oh, Tevin Jenkins has entered the blue medical tent. He is absolutely useless in terms of like being available, being on the field. I've really liked him as like a personality that he's brought to this team. But I am really sick of every single Sunday hearing that same exact thing. We know that availability is the best ability or whatever they say. And he's just constantly leaving the field. I think that he did end up coming back today, as he does all the time. But I feel like that guy is one snap of football away from his career ending at any given moment for whatever reason. And it's really old. And I think at a certain point, we have so many injuries, it's telling about the player more than just being unlucky. So Tevin Jenkins is my outhouse just because I'm so sick of seeing him leave games and be hurt.
It's a good one. I think you nailed it. I'm seeing like Nate Davis in the comments. But should he even get like outhouse status?
Yeah, no, or he's like whatever below that is.
Whatever below that is, that's where that guy goes. But I don't want to take it in case that's where you're going. And I'm going to go off of Shane just because I think I've clearly stated my opinion about Shane. So the risk of being redundant, I'm going to go with DJ Moore. Like, not about his play, but how did that guy turn into a Richard overnight? I don't understand. Like, you got your bag and you seem to be like a super good, high character, selfless type of Bear. Yeah, things are going bad and I get it. You're probably frustrated, but man, that clip that Shell sent to us of him like clapping at booing Bears fans on the way out, like, dude, like, don't start getting adversarial with our fans. I know you've only been here for a little bit, but man, we're gonna be here after you're gone, and we were here before you got here, and things have been shit for a long, long time, man. I'm not a big boo fan, like, I don't really go to games and boo, but like, dudes want to boo and ladies want to boo, then they're gonna do it. Because that sucked. You guys dropped a big fat deuce on the field. So if they want to boo, they're going to boo, man. Like, don't be snarky, DJ Moore, about it. Mm-hmm. So he goes in my outhouse.
And one real quick comment. That's like when you talk about DJ Moore being an elite receiver, like, I can't put him in the same category as Amon-Ra St. Brown. I feel like that guy would die on the football field before he would ever be seen walking off the field in the middle of a play. So I don't want to hear him even be considered in the same breath as ARSB.
I don't get I truly don't understand what's going on, because there have been, I'm going to use a word, like microaggressions throughout, things that just minor things that keep building up, and throughout the whole course of a season so far, it looks really bad. I don't know what it is. I truly don't know. He signed a deal. He knew what he was getting himself into. And yeah, I can understand. I've always kind of sided with Sylvie from ESPN 1000, who said, or maybe Waddle said it, I can't remember, but you can boo, but don't be mad if the players boo back. Fine. But at the same time, like with everything else that has been going on with DJ Moore this past season, it's just another thing where it's like, we don't need that. Just go out, make a play. And hey, he did make a play in the second half and he was fired up about it, which is great. But that was pretty much it. There was one thing going on there. For my outhouse, I don't want to harp on Shane Waldron or Matt Eberflus again because we've done that. It's too easy. They've got a permanent residence at the outhouse. I'm going to bring back Tyreek Stevenson after he was in the outhouse 2 weeks ago. Just a bad, really bad game. He was targeted a lot. He definitely was the one who, in my opinion, was giving up a lot of the pretty big pass play. I believe he was in covers on the touchdown as well. And all right, well, the other thing I was going to say is he got benched essentially for Terrell Smith again, this time for performance reasons. I think there's a very real chance he's going to be relegated to a backup for the rest of the season because he's been on the bench a lot.
How do you come back from what happened 2 weeks ago? Like you career-wise can, but it's just like that was the end of Tyreek Stevenson's year. Like of any positive momentum that he had going, I don't know how you come back from what he did 2 weeks ago.
That's an interesting take because I think you might be right, Logan. And that would be an awful shame because he was an ascending.
Yeah. Quarterback, yeah.
An ascending starting quarterback on a good D. And I think, I would be surprised now if he somehow gained traction again and gained that spot back with authority. It sucks.
Yeah. Oh, is Brandon gone?
We might have lost him. He did this to me last time.
I'm here. I know.
I'm like, guys, Brendan.
Guys, Christmas is coming soon. Christmas is coming soon.
Are you, you're just, laptop. Well, it's probably hard to find the penthouse graphic because it may have just like automatically disappeared from the programming, possibly. Because. Is there a penthouse?
It may.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is.
There it is. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Good luck, Logan. Who you got?
Yeah, you want me to start that off? DeAndre Swift was all right. He looked like he cared and wanted to play football at certain points today.
Is that your only one, Brendan?
Yeah.
That was my
truly
only one,
like,
man. That was all I got.
Yeah. He liked, but even like he didn't really do that much. He just like looked like he was running hard. He was running hard and made a couple of things happen for an offense that couldn't do shit. So DeAndre Swift.
Well, you're going to have no shot after I go because the only guy left is TJ. Edwards,
yeah,
not TJ Brooks. Although we love you, TJ Brooks, and we're glad to see you in the chat.
And TJ go big,
yeah.
Hopefully,
it's both TJs. Yeah, usually I mess it up and call TJ Edwards TJ Brooks because I have so much love for TJ Brooks, but I also have a lot of love for TJ Edwards, who had 13 total tackles, including 7 solos, a pass deflection, and. I mean, I guess it is an interception, but is it like when the opposing quarterback throws it directly to you? I mean,
oh my God,
he still gets credit.
You read it beautifully.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, he played a great game and that guy, let's face it, that guy, since we've picked him up in free agency has been,
sorry, I had to show that one.
That's fine.
Listeners, Matt said that Brendan has the Waldron internet, so that is the that's good. That's a code of the air. Anyway, so yeah, Edwards has been like a great free agency pickup and been just amazing. So that's my penthouse. Good luck to you, Brendan Shigeru.
Yeah, this sucks.
I can't wait to hear.
Here's my rationale. I want to pick Keenan Allen because he was actually decent when it came to, his pass catches. He caught 5 passes for 44 yards on 6 targets. He also missed a key block. So, I mean, yeah, like that's kind of troubling because I think if he hits a block, the Bears could get a first down. I want to pick Elijah Hicks again. Because I thought he had a really solid game, but he dropped a surefire interception in the end zone.
Getting a lot of encouragement in the chat, Brendan. People are just like, they're trying so hard to help you.
This is a team. Yeah. This is a team. The chat is showing what it's like to be a team.
It is.
Oh my God. You know what? Screw this. I'm gonna put all the Bears fans, everybody in the chat, everybody in the game.
Let's go.
We all get in the penthouse. It's a giant penthouse that we can all just hang out in because nobody else is deserving of being honored with that.
Yeah, it was bad. I could see maybe making a case for DeAndre Carter. I mean, I think he had a couple big plays. Yeah.
Good return.
He had a return. Yeah, there was one decent return. They got a penalty that pushed it as well, I think, on one of them. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It was it's whatever. Like, this was a shit game.
Yeah. It was a shit game.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we've talked about a lot of this already. Is there anything that we missed?
Fire Flues, just in case we didn't say it before.
There was a chant, huh? That's a bad chant, too, I thought.
I saw Cam tweeted that, and it was so true. As soon as I started saying it out loud, I was like, fire Eberflus. It doesn't. He's right.
It doesn't roll off the tongue at all. Like, you couldn't really say that at a IHSA, you know, playoff football game, you know, with Flus in the stands. It doesn't really flow. Mm-mm. So I don't know. We're gonna have to come up fire Flusy. Like, I don't know. It's not a good chance.
It was fire Flus. I mean, there were a few people that were trying. You heard some people try to do the fire Eberflus, and then most of the people were like, oh no, we'll do fire Flus. We got there.
So you're saying we made adjustments and got to the right. We made quick on the fly adjustments as a fan base. Yeah. So yeah.
There was no Packers suck. No Packers suck in the underneath the tunnel. Green Bay sucks. No,
there was a little, but half of them were fire Flus, half of them were Green Bay sucks.
Wow. That's big. Yeah. That's big.
I know. I was really mad. Alyssa texted me. She's like, did you get any video of the fire Flus chant? I'm like, damn it. No, I was caught up in the moment. I wasn't chanting because I don't know. I'm trying to be a little bit of a professional, but I'm like, right. I really should have gotten that on video because it was good.
Yeah. Iconic moment. It's a real celebratory moment for the Bears franchise. Here we are again. I kind of can't believe it, guys. I really can't. It's just really
didn't see this being the case. Next week, like, I have already looked, the Packers are 6.5-point favorites, and like, I'm gonna put a lot of money on the Packers because there's no way the Bears come within a touchdown in that game.
It's at Green Bay.
It's at home. It's in Chicago.
Okay. Yeah. I would agree with you. I think the Packers staff is gonna watch film, and they're gonna like laugh with hilarity and smile. It's gonna be like cocaine on film for them.
If the staff remains intact for next weekend, like, truly, I don't know how you don't bet on the Packers. There's no fight in this team.
That could be a firing I don't know, the Bears just don't do it. I keep thinking like, oh, maybe this is the week, but we just know it never comes, unfortunately.
Berlissimo said it right. They only have to score 10 points for the Packers to cover next week because the Bears aren't scoring a touchdown.
So how does that, I think, how does it change your overall predictions at this point, boys? What do you think
for that game next week?
No, for the remainder of the season. You got them at 4-something or
4-5? Four.
No, like, for their final record, if you had to make a new guess.
Oh.
I think I had them at 10 wins.
I mean, that schedule is a gauntlet. Maybe they win two more.
6 wins.
And like, honestly, if you go through the schedule, it's not like there's two games you'd pick out confidently and say that we'd win those games. I'm just saying, maybe if you're like, lightning strikes twice the rest of the year, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be really hard. It's not going to be a fun Thanksgiving. It's not going to be a fun next week.
It'd have to be a total fluke, right? I mean, because Seattle's legit. San Francisco's legit. Everybody in the division is legit. Maybe the one upside for us is that Sam Darnold is finally Sam Darnolding.
I was going to say, I bet you they get one divisional win. I bet they win one of those games.
I think they could win two.
Okay. Look at this optimism.
I'm gonna go.
Well, it's major optimism here. Look, they play two of their road games against the division opponents on Monday and Thursday, so that's good. Not the whole 0-18 on Sundays.
Yeah.
Wait, you said they play divisional opponents on Monday and Thursday?
Yeah. They play the Lions in Detroit on Thanksgiving.
Right. Well, they're. I will always know you as the guy who is like the professional at statistics when it comes to Bears in those games. They're terrible, right? Like they never went on.
But so are the Lions.
Yeah, that's true.
Even though they're a different Lions team. They've not won on Thanksgiving in 7 years. I think that's the thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
They're bad. I'm going one win. I'm going one win for the remainder of the season.
All right. Woo. There you go. I got a couple stats for you that I put out that just make me sad. So you guys can be sad with me. For the second game in a row, the Bears won the turnover battle. Didn't commit a turnover either. And they lost by two scores at least. How does that happen?
When this is all said and done, the stats that are like that, I mean, there are some of the most obscure, unique, never happened stats I've ever seen. It's bonkers.
Yep. The other one that was fun was the last time the Bears scored three or fewer points at home against a team that was at least two games under 500 was back in 2011 when they lost 10-3 to the Chiefs. If you remember, Caleb Haney started that game and they only lost because of a Hail Mary.
Oh my God. I swear I block out so many Bears games from my memory. Cause like, I'm sure I watched that game. I never in a million years would have a recollection of that happening. That's such a bad game. So it was 3-3 at the end of the game and they won on a Hail Mary.
No, it was 3-3 at halftime or maybe 3-0.
I mean,
and they got the Hail Mary going into the half.
Still bad. That's a bad football game.
Yeah. So, and that was, again, Caleb Haney against Tyler Pelko. I mean, this is my God.
Tyler Pelko. Wow.
Oh, God.
What a QB matchup.
That's so bad. Okay, I don't even know. It's so bad. I think I'm laughing through tears, Brendan. Keep going.
That was pretty much it. I mean, I saw that the Bears had, well, the last thing I saw, I don't have a comparison, but the Bears had two games this year with under 150 yards of total offense already. That's a big problem.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
Smile and nod. I have a tab with the Chicago Bears offensive coordinator list up just on my computer because I was looking at it before. And that list of offensive coordinators will never not look so hilarious. It's so bad.
Just list them as long as you got it up.
Okay. We've got Waldron, Getsy, Bill Lazor, Mark Helfrich, Dowell Loggins, Adam Gase, Aaron Cromer, Mike Tice, Mike Martz, Ron Turner, just of recent. And like, I think the one thing you can say between all of those is like, not a single one of those guys, maybe like one or two, but like we're coached for the Bears. And then after we're like a sought after guy, like they're all guys who like, for the most part, their careers kind of ended, or like that was the peak of their career was being an offensive coordinator for the Bears. Other than Mike Tice,
Adam Gase was the exception, I'd say.
Yeah, but he sucked as a head coach, so I guess that's why I'm still lumping him in.
It was so weird, so weird. Yep. That guy's facial expressions and like, yeah, he was super strange. Yeah, that's a bad list. It'd be interesting. We should try to have somebody come up with a list of their OCs to see. I mean, I've got to say that's got to be in the ballpark of worst in the league, like in this like span of time. I don't know.
Oh, there's no way that someone has it worse.
I don't know.
I mean, Raiders.
Hmm. Yeah.
Jets.
Yeah.
This is the saddest.
Think about going back to like 2009. Yeah, this is really sad.
Let's cut it out.
Let's just start naming, you know, who's got it worse than us? Well, you know, maybe a few people. All right. Anything else? Anything we missed before we get out of here? Do shout outs.
No nuggets from me.
All right. Then let us get two shout outs. We'll start with Logan, Jack, and I'll finish it up.
I don't have a specific person, but like having been on this show for, you know, parts of the last few years since its inception, it's like cool to see the, you know, the growth that you guys have created. And so that's kind of why my shout out just goes to literally everybody who's been in the chat, like Matt, TJ's, you know, another Matt, you know, Heidi, Barilissimo, like all these people. It's crazy as someone who, you know, I'm not able to be here each and every week, but to be able to have, you know, all these people in here hanging out with us, just like having people comment and like just have, you know, say things. It's so much fun for me to be able to like read it while I'm doing the show, and it like jogs my memory to certain things. So just shout out to everybody who's in the chat, and then also to, you know, Dangle, Brendan, Jack, Shells, you guys for really growing this thing. And it still is so much fun to come on here and hang out with you guys even after such a depressing day. So shout out to the entire chat and everybody who's in here hanging out. Like it truly means a ton.
Thanks for saying that, Logan. I think that's going to be especially important to remember going forward.
Because, yeah.
You know, like we've talked about this. I mean, we have talked about how fun it would be to do this if the team was good. And we've been through a lot of dire times. I think, you know, we're going to need the support of those folks. We've got some of the best loyal listeners, and we're going to need the support of one another. You might see us rotating on here in bits, because there really does become a point, I think, where it's like, we're doing this for a side hustle because we love football and we have loved the Bears over the course of our lives, but it gets tough. It really does sometimes, you know, and it gets tough sometimes to come on and chat about a team, you know, like it seems like it's like a really awful, like hellscape of, you know, Groundhog Day sometimes. So, I mean, all to say just, yeah, thanks Logan, because I know you were thinking all of us in the community, and I think that's proper, because
yeah,
boy, we're gonna need each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's gonna be a long
then again Jack, this isn't even our worst team.
True
So this is therapy for me, because I feel like I'm talking about a winner here. 4-5
You're right.
You know what I'd do to have the White Sox have great what point. Is that a 400 win percentage or something? Good point. Almost. That's a good point. I'd love that.
Yeah. I just want to shout out, I was kind of back and forth a little bit with, I'll probably say his last name wrong, and I apologize, but it's Russ Carnuth. Last name is K-A-R-N-U-T-H. And I had a nice back and forth today, just talking about what I just mentioned, actually, just, you know, how you approach watching the game and, you know, how to kind of keep your sanity while you're doing it, and the extent to which you can, you know, kind of have hopefulness or just watch with like kind of like a, you know, just a neutral, you know, objectivity. So that helped. It was nice to just have that combo with him. So shout out to Russ. Thanks, Russ.
I want to reiterate what all you guys said. I mean, everybody in the chat, all of our loyal listeners. Sometimes it is hard to talk about a team that just gets their ass kicked in every week. And we know we've done it. I mean, we're all fans. We've all watched this team for many, many years. And sometimes there are conversations where people were like, hey, like, do we want to do this? Is it worth it? And we always come back to the chat, and we always come back to the fans to say, yes, it is, because, you know, we get to interact with you guys, and you guys also support us. So it really does mean a lot. And especially in these tough times, because we all want to talk about a winner. And hopefully that comes at some point soon, but it doesn't seem like it's happening now. So shout out to everybody in the chat, everybody that Logan mentioned. We really do thank you. We see the comments, and it's also just fun banter too. So it's always cool to just know that we have people hanging out with us every single week while we commiserate about the Bears and we can talk with you. So as I mentioned, I just went to the game on a last minute whim, thanks to my awesome Uncle Johnny and his buddy Max. So I want to shout them out, shout out their buddy Storm as well. And then I met some friends. I found some friends that were there. So I was able to hang out with them. Shout out to Megan, Brennan, and Jack. So Oops, I know, not you, Jack.
Oh, okay.
Megan, her husband and her brother, they were there. They're actually sitting in the section right next to me, so I was able to hang out with them. And then shout out to Windy City Productions and Steven Nagashi. Steven hit me up. He's like, hey, can we meet after the game? I'm like, yeah, sure. And I realized he was like directly on the opposite side of the stadium. I'm like, shoot, this probably isn't going to happen. And I felt bad. I wasn't able to meet up with him, but it's really cool, Steven, to reach out. Hopefully I'll get to meet you soon. I know Rashad with the Windy City Productions was there as well. A lot of people there actually. So I wish I was able to see more people, but just, yeah, shout out to them.
I love you cheering on Brendan's internet. That's one of the highlights. It, you know what it is? It's he's looking, the internet's looking at the play sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. It sees that like there's,
give it a second.
Right. We'll
get like, the play call in with like 10 seconds left on the play clock.
Don't exactly. Worry. Like there's a swing pass to DJ Moore. He could call that maybe, or the internet, or maybe Brendan's internet could call.
This is the proverbial third down right here. Right. And look at this. It's not coming back.
It's not. So we'll probably close out the show. I think I can do it. I just wanted to mention real quickly, and I think you're probably watching too, the Lions are getting their arses kicked, huh?
I keep kind of looking over, 23-7 right now, which is surprising. I mean, anyone can get beat on any Sunday, but the only thing that's guaranteed is the Bears sucking. So.
Oh, for sure. No, I think probably Detroit has a better chance. Oh, hey, Brennan, we were rooting for your internet so hard. You can take us out. We got most of what you said. At the end about all those really wonderful people that you met at the game. That's pretty cool.
Just reading the comments, man. I deserve the roast. I deserve all of the roast. This is stupid. If somebody wants, you know what? If somebody wants to gift me a new modem or something, I'm all ears, man.
You got to fire the original one. Are you willing to mid-season fire your modem and your internet?
You're pretty loyal to
internal. We're gonna have an internal teams meeting about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Get real with each other. Yeah. Jack, why don't you do it?
Everything possibly, I'm gonna take us out. So to everyone listening, thank you so much. If you could jump on and follow us on every social media, go on YouTube, be a subscriber, hit like at the end of this, this podcast, the stream on the YouTube machine, go on X, follow all the guys. We'd really appreciate it. As Ryan likes to say, we know there's a lot of places you could go for your Bears content, but you chose to go to us. And we greatly appreciate that for Logan and for Brendan. And for this guy, Jack, Bear Down Chicago.